fourth, sixth song of the song, the phrase, appreciation for God's mercy, begins by saying, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be buried, I'd say that's about as bad as things can get. The psalmist in these verses expresses his great faith in God in the beginning. Then he sets in contrast to that the type of trouble that can come. Explains how powerful his hope of victory is over that trouble. And in the fourth verse, he gives us the reason. The demonstration of how God helps us in the time of trouble. The fourth verse of the 46th Psalm says, there is a river, and the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right earth. My authority for this assertion point is Adam Clark. He said this, scripture is a reference to the brook Kidron. We sing a song about beyond where Kidron's waters flow. That's not the same one. Kidron and Kidron are not the same. Kidron was a small streamlet that actually begins in the temple at Jerusalem and flows out from that place in the city. The scripture said concerning big waters that there's no gathering of the waters that goes there, speaking of places in God's church where people exercise rule over one another, or where there are great tossing waves. I'm kind of scared of big water. But the brook Kidron is not like that. It's just small. But it always flows. If a city is going to withstand the siege of enemies, it needs to have a constant water supply. And this brook waters that city so that no matter how bad it is, if the wind's blowing hard, it just makes a ruffle on the brook. It doesn't move it very much. Clear, pure. There is a river. Streams are of it, you make glad. There is God. Well, like so many things in the scriptures, that's used for spiritual comparison. I'd like to invite you to turn now to the 22nd of Revelation. Talk about the thoughts that you have this evening. Once again, I respectfully ask for your prayers. This whole book is so wonderful. It begins with the story of creation. And the last verse in it, next to last, ends with a promise. All the tribulation and battle, the trouble and any of us will have, and he left. The Lord says, will not come quickly. Surely I come quickly. And the church sends an answer. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you made me ready for your coming, and now you come when you want to. Everything's all right. I can meet you in the end. Surely I come quickly. In the verses above, some of the closing things that the Lord had to say. What about this a lot? Remember the story of Peter. He was fishing. The Lord's crucified. Peter's fishing, giving up hope, things are going to be like they should be. And here's a fellow over on the bank with a fire. And the folks told Peter, that's the Lord. Peter wrapped his fisher's coat around him. It's been quite a time since the Lord was crucified. Hadn't seen him in a while. Obviously, there weren't going to be very many more times to see the Lord. As it happened, this was the last for Peter. He got over there where the Lord was. And the Lord started talking to him, and Peter had failed the Lord. crucifixion. And the Lord told Peter, in my language, you get your chance to redeem yourself. Now you're young, but when you're old, folks are going to carry you where you don't want to go. And the scripture said, this he said, signifying the death by which he had glorified the Lord. Peter understood that. You'd think that Peter would say to himself, I better get all the information that I can. The Lord's good enough to open this topic to me. I already dropped the ball once. What could there ever be in my life that would be more critical to me than what's going to happen at the time when I'm being carried away to be put to my martyr's death? And here's the Lord telling me about it. But where does his mind go instead? Lord, and what shall this man do? As if that could ever make a difference to Peter. You think when they came to get Peter and took him off to be crucified, he started worrying about where John was? I say by that time he got all past this. And I think sometimes the old devil would like to trick you and me into missing some of the critical things the Lord would have for us. Any visitation of the Lord is precious. Any time he comes to talk to us, we need to lay aside everything else that's going on in our lives. Focus. Right? This is important. This is going to have something to do with my eternal destiny. I need to get everything out of it that I possibly can. Lord, have mercy on my soul. It's time to forget about John and Joe and James and everybody else and concentrate on him. Lord, what have we got for him? Well, here's what the Lord's got for us. The Spirit and the Bride. Close to the end of the Lord's final book in the Bible. 66 of them. What? 4,000 years of history incorporated in the Bible. All the prophets, all the priests and teachers, all the way down to the end. And as if to conclude, in the final words, the things he's saying to us at the very last. Here's what he said. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. So I think of how the Spirit invites us to come. Thank God for His Spirit. Have you ever had the Spirit deal with your soul? Only have one soul. To try to grasp what a soul is. The writers who study those words more deeply than I have say that it's not really proper to say you have a soul. It's proper to say you are a soul. Your soul is you. Your soul is the essence of the person that you are. Created by God, or perhaps a part of God, inserted into us before we're born into the world. It is the component, it is the essence of what makes us what we are. Every one of us are just as individual and unique as our own fingerprints. Every one of our souls are individual. God has tailored a salvation plan specifically to your and my individual soul. His salvation plan for you won't fit me because we're different souls. Nor his salvation plan for me won't fit you the same way because we're different souls. In his wisdom, he made one that's tailored precisely. While we were in the womb, the scripture says, he knew us. He tried our reins, which means our will, which means that God designed that there be no child born into the world who was incapable of salvation. Could not have enough strength of will by the grace of God to resist the power of the devil. Some people are born retarded. Some people do not have full capabilities. And the Lord has mercy on that. And their accountability is much less. There are none of us born with such a strong, terrible personality that it cannot be curbed by the grace of God. Or so taught the old rabbis from the teaching in the Psalms. He tries our reins, which means our will, which means our ability to resist right and wrong. And then he calls to us, we humans who are souls, who have the right to choose, he calls to us by his great Spirit. Thank God for his Spirit. He calls to us. Come. Come. The world is dark. Peter. I'm the light. I know you got disappointed. You went with me 3.5 years. You saw me crucified. You don't understand what all it was. You thought that I had come to restore the kingdom to Israel, but it's not over really, Peter. No, it's only started. Come, Peter. Come from where you are. Get up the fishing boat. I wonder what went through Peter's mind. When he went fished all night, didn't catch anything, and then he saw that one walking on the bank there, and he said, children, have you any meat? I wonder if he didn't say, I've been here before. Let down your nets on the other side, and I know what's coming now. And they started to bring them up, and the nets began to break. I know what's happened now. I've been here before. The Spirit says, come. Have you ever had the Spirit call you? Well, let's sing a song about it. I don't know the number, but we have in the book that says, oft in the noonday and in the stillness of night. Number 418. Could we turn over and sing it? The title of it is The Spirit Pleading.
Most unexpected moment, it can be so strong and just rise up and all of a sudden.
things like that that he can't explain, but I can. It's the Spirit. Have mercy on your soul. One more call. One more chance. It affects everybody. I've seen very wealthy men get under conviction of the Holy Ghost and tremble and weep. I've seen hardened criminals. I've seen men on death row get under conviction of the Holy Ghost. As long as we're living, the Lord's able to deal with our souls in His mercy. Off in the noon of the evening and the stillness of night sounds in the bosom this warning. Turn from the evil. You don't have to be lost. Come and do right. Second verse is a very frightening one. We don't like to think about it, and yet the Spirit reminds us of its truth. It's unpopular in our world today. Soon will your death knell be tolling. Earth shall not see you again. Soon will your place be like vacant. Where will your spirit be now? Up to the courts of the blessed, only the holy may go. Torment is awaiting the sinner. This is the truth that you know. I have a testimony that I didn't get saved because I saw the beauty of the church, but because I saw the joy of salvation. I got saved because I had before my eyes the vision of hell. And I was afraid of what would happen if I died without getting saved. Also, I was so miserable in the sins that I had. I was bitter. I didn't like anybody very much. I resented things that happened to me. And I carried that load as long as I could and thought there has got to be something better than this, and I'm going to try it. And I went and put in for salvation, and I found then the things that I didn't even remember were there. There's another song that says, did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away. Well, that's what the Spirit has come to deliver us from. The third verse says, while you are slighting God's mercy, such a dangerous thing to do, the Spirit makes you know it. When we turn our backs on the only hope there is for the human soul, we grow harder. We push him away. Every decision either makes us better or worse in life. We think of them sometimes as choice points or growth points. There are choice points that come to us in life when we choose either for to be a better person, to draw closer to the Lord, home, family, or to move far into the devil's clutches, away into darkness. Down in the darkness, you choose it, thus in your folly to go. Thus the Spirit. Have you ever heard the Spirit's call? We've all heard the Spirit's call. Will you say you've heard the Spirit's call? That's mercy. The Spirit says, come. But He's saying, come home. He's saying, come, there's hope for you. He's saying, come, things can be better for you. He's saying, I have a place here for you. Come. The Spirit says, come. But that's not all. He said, the bride also says, come. That's where we come in. Jesus' church is His bride. Boy, that gets complicated. Through the years, been trying to live for the Lord, I've heard many and many a complaint against the call of the church. And some of it is valid. And I hear those things, it makes me say, Lord, help. Lord, help us have the call that you want us to have. Sometimes I would have to say of myself, I've been so foolish in the way that I've tried to deal with souls. I haven't had the wisdom that I needed to. Sometimes I let my zeal get ahead of my knowledge and had to go back and pick up things. I've had to have the Lord have a lot of mercy on me along the journey. And I find in serving the Lord also that all we have here to go to heaven with in this world are human beings. And they all have pretty much a lot of the same traits. One way or another, they all get tired. They all get busy with other things. Sometimes any of us are subject to misunderstand one another. Why do you say that about my parents? My mother and dad were saved people. They didn't always understand me. I got a licking or two that I didn't deserve. And as I was growing up, my parents forced me to make changes that I didn't want to make. But I'll tell you what, I'd give anything I have nearly if I could get either one of them back. to have a visit with them tonight. They love me dearly. They weren't perfect, but they loved me dearly, and they did the very best they knew how to do to help me in my body, in my chance in life, to raise me the best that they could, and to give me a chance for my soul, and to teach me about salvation. That's a lot the way I see the church. I'm not very affected, really, by criticisms that people bring to me in the church, because I owe my soul to the church. The people, God, people have stood by me when I didn't deserve to be stood by. God, people have loved me when I wasn't very lovable, through the good times and the bad. I'm grateful to God's people, and I count it a privilege. In the sanctuary, let me come in, sit on the back row, listen to them sing and praise God, and listen to the gospel that the Lord gives them. That's a great blessing. I tell you, there are lots of people in the world who don't have that privilege. I was listening to the folks talk about missionary things earlier in the meeting, and reminded me of Brother John Bargey's saying from over in India, which was, why should anybody hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once? And I still don't have an answer for that. And yet, I've heard the gospel over and over, and I've seen it live in people's lives, taught and preached and sung. I'm so thankful for that. Thank God for the call of the church. Yeah. The church's call is come. Come. Come to something better. Yeah. The church's call is, it worked for me. It can work for you. You can have it too. Well, I have another song that deals with that. It was written by Mr. Philip Bliss. Oh, 150 years ago, maybe. He listened to a minister talk about being almost persuaded. He said, to be almost saved is to be wholly lost. To be wholly lost is to lose everything that there is. And Brother Bliss got a hold of that. He went away and wrote a song about it. And I'd like to sing part of it to you this evening. I'll invite you, those of you who know how, know this familiar song, please help me with it, because my singing is atrocious. But I'd like to have it before us this evening, so I'll go on anyway. I ask you particularly to listen to the part that talks about prayers.
Almost persuaded now to be read, almost persuaded Christ to receive, seems now some souls to say, go. Comes at last.
meantime, mothers and fathers, loved ones, lay up prayers for camp meeting. They take their children to camp meeting in the hopes that something may happen there that'll touch a child's heart. Make them think about their soul. Mom and Dad teach you all they can about the right way, but in the end, it's up to you what you do with it. So they bring their prayers. And the ministers bring their prayers. And the song leaders bring their prayers. And the saints bring their prayers. Lord, send conviction. Lord, we keep changing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Put a call in our service. Help folks who want to come. I'm not calling them to something hard for easy. It's a call to come home. It's a call to be free. It's a call to have hope in your life. Things to be rich and beautiful. Because the rest of this verse says, hear the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that heareth. People don't get saved because they don't believe. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. If you believe what hell really is, if you believe what God really is, you do something about it. Oh, people say they do. They pay lip service to the idea. You would ask everyone here tonight, do you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's a heaven? Hell, come. Everyone would say yes. But some of you don't believe it. Your actions don't show it. I tell you, if hell were open right here for just an instant before, probably every one of us would be right here. Let's start to out. It's not ever going to happen that way. Because it takes faith. It takes you taking just one step. But let him that hear. Let him who says, in spite of my feelings, in spite of my friends, in spite of whatever else there may be, I want to take a decision. I'll open my ears. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Folks are praying for you. Folks love you. Folks want to see you have a hope in your soul. Somebody's caring. Somebody shed tears over you. Calling. And the Spirit's calling. Come, let him hear. Come. It's not that hard. It's just in your heart. The hard thing about being saved is making up your mind to it. Once you start into it, the Lord meets you. Didn't he give us a parable about a man who started to go back from where he was? And while he was a great way off, he did it so hard, his father saw him. This is my boy, this is what I'm looking for. The church feels that way. The Spirit feels that way. Open your ears. Life is short. The devil wants to destroy you. The Lord told Peter, Satan has desired you that he might sift you like wheat. It means take everything valuable, everything beautiful, everything optimistic there ever was out of your life. He wants to get all of it. That's not just for Peter. The devil didn't just eat. He's not discriminatory. He would do exactly the same thing to every one of us here if the Lord would lift back his hand. Yes, he wants to. Oh, will you hear? Will you please hear? Let the Spirit say come. To let the bride say come and answer. Open your ears to come. Let him that is athirst come. Don't you get tired of sin sometimes? Don't you get longing for something better? Some hope. Isn't there something that thirsts inside? Place to quit worrying about what happens if you don't wake up. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Full circle now. There's a river. There's a stream that started under the throne of God and it flows out. It's a little creek. The world overlooked it. But it's a pure river of water of life. It'll wash your sins away. It'll bring. It'll make you like a flower blooming in the desert. When all around you, sin and shame and heartache and disappointment in your own past, in the lives of others that you see, the Lord will change all of that. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is mighty rushing wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The Master gave this promise, the Spirit will descend. From your inner being a river with no end. There came a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. But then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you'll drink this water, this is blessed. You'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to the water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
I feel in my spirit, Lord, calling to some needy soul in your kingdom. This part of the bride I have not healed about. Come drink of the water. Come be satisfied. Let this meeting be the time for the prayers and rhymes and hearts so dear are answered. Let the tears the folks are shedding over you turn to tears for joy. See all the future before you, lighted with hope and with peace. Drink of the river of pleasure, streams of joy. Amen. Thank you for the prayers of this evening. Do we have a song of praise?
417.